You want to turn to your Bibles to John chapter 17. We'll be reading out of that today, John chapter 17. In your bulletins, you'll find an outline there for those of you who want to use it. And I got to admit, the title intrigued even me this week. The Church, a 2,000-year-old Frankenstein. What exactly does that mean? The Church, a 2,000-year-old Frankenstein. The book that we know of, it's called Frankenstein. That wasn't actually the original title. The modern Prometheus was the original title. By that, Prometheus being the fabled Greek god who created man. It was a fiction book written, well, I don't even remember when it was written now. Should have had it written down. Written several years ago, 150 years ago. And in the book, a scientist by the name of Victor Frankenstein created a being. He learned how to take dead matter and bring it to life. So, Victor found pieces through cemeteries, dead bodies, cadavers, things like that, assembled them together into a monster, essentially, and then brought this monster to life. Many dead parts put together, brought to life. And I'm going to contend with you today that that is the Church. We are many dead parts brought together, brought to life by God, put together by God. We are a 2,000-year-old Frankenstein. And we know this through studying the Scriptures. And we're going to look at this today. My point for you today is, as we think about grace, Church, we've been talking about grace the last couple of weeks, right? How grace should motivate us, how grace should define us, because we are Grace Church, right? At Grace Church, grace must be in our lives. It must be evident within us. God has given it to us. We must show it to others. So we looked at grace for the last 2 weeks. Now for 2 weeks, we're going to look at what church is. What is a church? What is Grace Church? Because we are a body, and what does it mean to be a body together? A body together brought together by God's grace. What is a church? What does it mean to be bound together in Christianity, to be bound together by our faith in Jesus Christ? C.S. Lewis once wrote, he said, "I didn't go into religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that. If you want a religion to make you comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity." Isn't that the truth? It should be. These last couple weeks have been tough on me. You guys got to hear that last Sunday. It's my own life application out of that. That was hard. But isn't that what growth is? Growth should be hard. Now, this may come as a surprise to you, but I've never really lifted weights. Why is Brian laughing? I don't know. Okay. I haven't. I've never really lifted weights that much, but I have some friends who do, and you can tell that they do. And they will tell you that a good day of lifting weights is when you go home hurting, right? That's a good day of lifting weights. When you go home and you're a little sore, you say, "Man, that was a good workout today." Well, sometimes on Sunday mornings, we go home a little bit sore because we've got a good workout if we want to grow. The mission of Grace Church is what? It's in your bulletin, to grow mature believers, right? In Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do. It's written down there in your bulletin. We want to grow mature believers in Jesus Christ. And so if we're going to grow mature believers, we also are hopefully going to grow as well. And it may hurt a little bit. It hurts me some too. These are not comfortable things to think about, because frankly, the Scriptures should point out areas in our life where we need to grow. And in this area of the church, there may be an area where you need to grow as well, as we think about what is the church. In John 17, we find Jesus praying to God the Father. And he says, "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. The unity of Grace Church is essential for us to accomplish our mission. The unity of Grace Church is essential for us to fulfill the mission that we have, that mission of making mature followers of Jesus Christ. We have to be unified. The church should be unified. As we study the church today, the word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which literally means a gathering. People gather together. That's what we are today. We are a gathering. We are people gathered together for one purpose. And that purpose is to worship God this morning, to study His Word, to see what He has to show us today, to see what we can apply to our lives. That's what the church is. As we think about the church, there's the local church and then there's the universal church. The universal church are those people who place their faith in Jesus Christ. God is the one who places us within the universal church based upon our faith in Jesus. The universal church is worldwide. The universal church has one person in charge, and that's Christ. That's the universal church. Today, the universal church across the world is gathered together worshiping God. It's a wonderful thing. We at Grace Church, we're part of what's called the local church. The local church is a smaller body gathered together in one place with one person in charge presenting the word. Some churches are structured a little bit differently. But many local churches are just like we are Grace Church. A group of people coming together to worship God together in one place doing this. This is the local church. You have different ages coming together. Different demographics are represented here today. Different people are here. Different personalities, different talents, different gifts. And yet we're all together in one facility this morning here at Grace Church. We are one local church. And this one local church must be united just as the universal church is united through Christ. We must be united in our purpose, in our mission, in the reason we are here. Because if we're not united, we cannot accomplish what God wants us as a church to accomplish. This mission, the mission of making mature followers of Jesus Christ, was a mission established by your leadership here at the church. This isn't my mission for you. This is the mission that was given to me. When I came as your pastor, you said, this is what we want to accomplish. And I said, great, I can do that. I will help you along that with God's help. That is a mission of Grace Church. But we have to be united in this. And I recognize that there are things in our personalities, there are things within this church that make it difficult for us to do that, to make it difficult for us to be united. And hopefully we're going to address some of those things today. The first thing I want to talk about is, of course, there in your bulletin, recognizing that God is the one who chose the parts for the local church and the universal church. But God is the one who chose the parts. It wasn't me that brought any of you in. It wasn't any of you that brought anybody in. It was God ultimately who did that. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, we see where God chose us in Him. That talks about our salvation, yes. But as God choosing, it's not me choosing. These people next to you here are here because God chose them. Nothing more than that. And sometimes our personalities are so much different. We think, well, why did they end up in this building? Are you kidding me? I know what they were like as a kid. I know what they were like as an adult. I see the way they treat their spouse. What are they doing here? And the answer is because God brought them here. That's the answer to that. God is the one who chose the parts. God has everybody here today for a reason. I don't know what that reason is outside of worshiping Him. And isn't that reason enough? It should be. But instead, what happens is we have personality differences. We have past histories that haven't been worked through, haven't been forgiven. And we have hostility arise within the church. And that messes up the unity of the church. And then that messes up the mission of the church because we can't get it done anymore. We're so busy fighting one another. And I don't know if Grace Church is there, and I hope you're not, but I do know I've been part of a family before. I've got 6 siblings in my family, and I know what it means to fight with one another. It happens, doesn't it? And it doesn't take much, because we're people. But we're people brought together by grace, aren't we? Yes. Do I hear an amen or an oh me? It's tough sometimes, isn't it? And God wants us to be unified. Why does he want us to be unified? John 17. Verse 21, may they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. So the world may believe. We at Grace Church, this is our testimony. Our unity is our testimony to the outside world. This town is so small, everybody knows everything, right? It is scary for Rachel and I to go anywhere. Because we've only been here for 3 weeks, and oh, I've heard of you already. Oh, great, who are you? I don't know anybody, and yet everyone seems to know us. And conflict is the same way. It doesn't take long for word to spread, does it? When things are disruptive, it doesn't take long for word to spread. But if you have a church that's got passion, that's unified, that's there on a mission, on a purpose, and we know it, then that will also spread like fire. Where are we at as a church today? Church is a group of people brought together by God. God is the one that chose the parts. The parts are different, aren't they? You look around the room, they are different. Some of us are more different than others, but we're all different. There's a lot of people that I have a lot of, well, my wife has a lot of good friends who like to pick on me, and they say, man, Bear, you are just one unique person. And that's true. We are different, aren't we? And yet God has brought us together for a reason. He chose the parts, different parts. We don't want people all doing the same thing, do we? It's impossible. We tell people in marriage counseling, we say, look, if you guys are exactly alike, then one of you is unnecessary. Right? Glorify in your differences. Be one of these things. Be thankful for your differences. In your marriage, be thankful for your differences. In your friendships, be thankful for your differences. And in the church, be thankful for your differences. We are different, and yet God has still chosen us to be here today. He still chosen us to be part of this local church. He has a plan for us. Will you look at the differences and say, God put that person here for a reason? I don't understand him. My personality is completely different than theirs. I don't get him. And God says, so? You don't have to get him. You just have to go along with him. Be unified. Worship me. Don't get angry at them just because they're different. Because here's the deal. God is scouting out. Yes, they're different, but they are made in my image. We are different. And yet we are all made in God's image, aren't we? I am made in the image of God just as you are made in the image of God. We are all made in God's image. And so for me to look at somebody and say, God, why are they here? Am I in essence saying, God, that image of yours is unworthy to be here today? I don't want to say that to God. And I hope that you don't either. Hopefully Grace Church will grow. That's our prayer for Grace Church. That's our passion for Grace Church. And as Grace Church grows, we're going to have more and more demographics within this church that are different than one another. We're going to have people with more unique situations than maybe we've ever faced. It's going to be harder. It's not going to be easier. Growth is never easy. And yet we look at the people that are coming in and we say, God has chosen them as well. God loves them just as much as he loves me, and he wants me to show grace to them just as he showed grace to me. And that person is made in the image of God, just as I am made in the image of God, and I should thank God for them because he's brought them here. Are we at Grace Church unified? Do we recognize that God is the one who chose the parts? That the parts are different, yes, and yet all made in his image. Because they are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You just write that down in your notes if you want to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Verse 17 we read, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The 2,000-year-old Frankenstein is now a new creation because of what Christ has done. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, we see we are dead in our sins. We as a church family were dead. Us as individuals were dead. And in Ephesians 2, verse 5, but we were made alive again because of what Christ has done, right? We're made alive again. We were dead, now we are alive. 2 Corinthians 5, we are now a new creation. We should be completely different than we once were because we're a new creation. But I recognize that takes longer for different people than it does with others. Some people are farther along in that process, but we are all here for a reason. As you look at somebody, you say, man, they've been saved for 50 years. Why are they still doing that one repetitive sin? Well, that's between them and God. And yes, we want to help each other grow. We do. We're here to help each other grow. At the same time, I can't look at that person and say, well, that person shouldn't ever be part of the church family because of what they're doing. I can't do that. Is there a part where we're supposed to help one another? Yes, absolutely. God has called us to do that. The part of making mature followers of Jesus Christ is helping them along with that process, isn't it? At the same time, it's not kicking them out of the family. And that's a great thing about Christianity, is I am part of God's family. I am His son. And it doesn't matter what I do, I will always be His son. I may be out of fellowship with Him, but I will never be out of His family. And within this church body, we're going to have people who are going to be out of fellowship with one another. Sometimes that happens. And if you're one of those people that's out of fellowship with another person in this church, don't ask that we kick that other person out because of what they're doing to you. That's not grace. Grace is going to that person and say, look, we're different. We have different personalities. You're not necessarily wrong. You're just different. And I want to embrace you as that, because we're here at Grace for that common goal of making mature believers of Jesus Christ. And right now, I need to mature. I need to grow. And you are my holiness tester, as we call them sometimes, right? You're the one causing me to grow. It's hard. We don't always get along with everyone sitting next to us. Goodness, Rachel and I don't always get along. I tell people, I said, we've been married for 15 years. You ask us how long we've been happily married, that's a different question, right? Much longer for me than for Rachel. She's a great wife. And you guys are a great church. But are we unified? At last week's business meeting, I saw church unity. I don't know what those business meetings are like. It's my first one I've ever been at here. And yet last week was so good for me to go home and for Rachel and I to talk. I said, man, these guys were on board. These guys are great. It was exciting to be there. That was unity. And look at what was able to get done because of the unity. It's a fantastic thing. And if that thing had been full of fighting and dissension, we'd have walked away 3 hours later with nothing accomplished, right? But because of the unity that you chose as individuals, we as a church were able to move forward. That's what unity is, recognizing that we're different. And maybe you wouldn't do things exactly the way others have chosen to do things. But you look at that and say, well, it's not wrong, it's just different. And as part of this church, let's go for it, because it isn't wrong, it's just different. Not necessarily the way I would do it, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just different. God has created the parts. The parts are different, and He's brought them together. All of these parts in His image brought them together. Will you recognize that? He's the one that's brought us together. He's the one that's assembled us into one body. He has brought us together today. He's assembled these parts. That means He's put them where He wants them to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning in verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? the whole body or an ear, where the sense of smell will be. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. God has arranged the parts just as he wanted them to be. You have a role in the church today. And maybe you're not satisfied with the role that God has given you. Or maybe you think that God is too much. I can't handle it. And yet you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and God says, you are exactly where I want you to be. And you look at the person next to you and say, God, why did you give them that role? They're not qualified to do that. And God says they are exactly where I want them to be. We have different roles because we are different, and yet God is the one who has arranged them. As a kid, I'm not sure I ever would have imagined myself as a pastor, and yet here I am today. And that's God, isn't it? And maybe you're in your life right now, at a stage in your life where you're thinking, man, God, I never saw myself here 20 years ago. I never would have guessed this. And God says, well, that's fine. I still had a plan for you. And he's got you where he wants you. He has a task for you. So the thing to think about is that if you don't have a task here at Grace Church, why not? Because God says he has a role for each of us. And if you don't have a role at Grace Church, the question we have to ask is, well, God, did you forget me? Is that the right question? Or is it, God, am I not listening to you? What's the right question to ask? Sometimes we ask, God, did you forget me? That's sometimes a human question. God, how come I'm not doing anything? Why don't you have something for me? And God is saying, you're not asking the right question. The question is, God, where should I be? And why am I not willing to be there right now? God has a role for each of us. The body is many parts put together in one. He has something for each of us to do. And if you're not doing anything, it's not because of God. We can just make this short and sweet, maybe not so sweet. If you're not doing anything, it's not because of God. It reminds me of a story about the married couple. When they first got married, you see them driving down the highway in the car. She's sitting right next to him. They're going on road trips, his arms around her in the car, having a great time. Well, after 15 years of marriage, she's now over against the door, and they still have talks and conversations, but she's moved. And she says, honey, remember when we first got married, how we always used to sit next to each other? Yeah. Well, how come we don't do that anymore? And he said, well, I'm not the one who moved. And sometimes with God, we do the same things, don't we? God, when I first got saved, I was all passionate and excited to do things, and I couldn't wait to jump in and do things. But God, I've been saved now for 20 years, and Lord, it seems like you've forgotten me. And God's like, I'm not the one that moved. I'm still there. How come you're not doing it anymore? Did you get tired? Sometimes we say yes. And he says, my strength is enough for you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Did you forget that promise? God has a role for us. He has something for us to do. And if you are a believer today in Grace Church, he has something for you to do. He does. He has placed us together for a reason. And to tell God that, God, there's nothing for me to do here, is to tell God that, God, you made a mistake. You placed me in the church family where there's nothing for me to do. I'm not willing to tell God that. And yet sometimes we do that, don't we? Sometimes I've done that. What is the church? The church is a group of people brought together to fulfill God's purpose so that others may believe, right? So that others may believe. We at Grace Church have a purpose. God has a purpose for us. They say that the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? Think about that one. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. You have two people brought together with the goal of bringing down one person, and those two people may not have even liked each other before, but because they're unified in a goal, now they become friends. We at Grace Church should have that same purpose, that purpose of bringing people to a mature relationship with Jesus Christ. That should be our purpose, and because of that, now we should be unified regardless of past differences, because we have a common goal. You see that played out in politics clear around the world. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. You see congressmen in the U.S. who come together who never join together on anything until they find something to fight together with. We as a church has something to fight together with. We have a common cause. Are we willing to unify ourselves? Are we willing to say, God, I never got along with that person before, but because we're here with a common purpose and a common goal, I'm going to unite myself with this person. Are we willing to do that? Are you willing to get excited for what God has for us as a church? We should. Now that we're together, God has brought us together, we should live as one body, right? Yes, we should. We are one body. We should live as one body. There will be differences, yes. There will be times of conflict. It happens. That's where forgiveness and grace comes in. We talked about grace. We know what grace is. We should understand this. And now that we understand what grace is and are applying it to our lives, this unity should just flow together naturally. The unity of the church. And are we willing to be united as a church? Are you willing to live as one body, not trying to do your own thing, not with your own agenda? Because oftentimes we have our own agendas, don't we? We have our own expectations. You want the pastor to do certain things. If the pastor hasn't come out to my house at least 3 times every quarter, you know, once a month, then that pastor really doesn't like me. There are people with that agenda. The people with the agenda say, look, if they don't have a program right for my kids, then I'm not going to go to that church. That's an agenda. If I'm not talked to by at least 10 people in church that I don't think I'm liked, and I'm not going to go to that church anymore, that's an agenda. Instead, we should say, God, you have me here for a reason. Regardless of what others do, you have me here for a reason, and I want to be united, and I want to live as one body. Help me as an individual to live as one body. Paul says, as much as possible, live at peace with one another, right? As much as is possible, live at peace with one another. Does that imply that sometimes there's going to be times that you can't? As much as is possible. There will be conflict. Absolutely. And I'm waiting for that time when it blows up in my face, because it's going to happen. It will. And yet, can we still, in spite of that conflict, say, look, we are here for a reason. God has brought us together. Can we do this together? Can we fulfill the mission of this Christ-centered, Bible-based church and produce mature believers of Jesus Christ? Can we do that together? Can we unite ourselves as a group and say, this is what we want to do? And will you join me in this journey? Because it is a journey. But can we as a church unite these bodies that were dead, that God has put together and brought to life through Jesus Christ, His Son? Will you unite with me today? Will you do that? So what? What does all this mean? All right, Pastor. Yes, we're part of one body. What does that mean for me? So what? Who cares? Well, you should care. There should be some questions you ask yourself. Couple questions. Are you really part of the universal church? The universal church, not the local church, the universal church. The universal church is that church that's brought together through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's it. That responsive reading we did today says, not by works, but by faith. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Have you ever placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Because if you haven't, then you're not even part of the universal church, and what I've said today won't make any sense at all to you. Are you part of the universal church? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? And if you have, then have you aligned yourself with the local church? Are you part of a local church? And you say, Pastor, church membership isn't mentioned anywhere in the scriptures. That's true. Neither is the word Trinity. And yet the concept is there, isn't it? The idea is there. We can study the scriptures and we can see where the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one, we call it the Trinity. We can see where that's a biblical concept. We can also see where local church membership is a biblical concept. Look at where John wrote in Revelation to the churches. Church at Laodicea, the church at Smyrna, those churches. He wrote to those local churches. The epistles to the church at Rome, to the church at Corinth, to the church at Ephesus. These were local churches that had a church body. Are you willing to be part of a church body? Are you willing to formally declare yourself as part of the church body? If you like the mission of Grace Church and you're not a church member here, I have to ask you, why not? Don't you want to have a role within this church? Do you want to recognize the role that God might have for you? What's holding you back? And if you don't like the mission of Grace Church, then why are you here? Can I ask that question? Because if you don't like the mission of Grace Church, you're going to be that grain of sand, that divisive spirit. Because you're not on board with what we're trying to do. If you're not on board with what we're trying to do, then find a church that has what you think should be right. Actually, back that up. Delete that thought out of your mind. Let's do it this way. If you don't like the mission of Grace Church, why not? Is it because it's unbiblical? Or is it because it might require some work from you that you're not willing to do? Part of the process of growing mature believers is actually maturing ourselves, right? That's something to think about. Man, that's kind of hard. Might be being a little harsh this morning. But isn't this what God's word says? These aren't my words. This is from God's word. You can argue with me all you want. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. Because it's God's word. And we are Bible-based, aren't we? Was that a yes or a no? I can't tell. All right, thank you. Yes, we're Bible-based. Everything we should do based on Scripture. And God says, Jesus says, I want them to be unified. So what? So that others may believe. Be unified so others may believe. Will you be unified with us today? Will you do that? Father God, I thank you for this church family. And I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for bringing us together. You chose us. You put us together. You recognize the different parts and you put them in their different roles. And God, I praise you for that. And Father God, if there's someone here today that's looking for their role, I pray that they would find it today. Today they begin seeking that out, Lord. Today to begin listening to you. Father God, I pray that we may be a church unified for this goal of producing mature believers. God, I pray we be unified so that others may believe. God, I pray that. God, if there's one here today that's never placed their faith in you, I pray that today would be the day they choose to do that. God, unite us. Unite our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.